Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Jaguars Thursday from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field after the Gus Bradley radio show on Thursday night. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, the Jags headed to London to face the Buffalo Bills in Week 7. What's up, guys? How
are you
doing?
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Ready or not?
Yeah.
I'm thinking. You're already packed and prepared.
No, I'm not.
Everything.
You know what I'm thinking
about? I don't even know what's going on yet.
I'm thinking about sneaking some beverages on this trip or something, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
It is a lengthy flight.
It's a very long flight.
You got to sleep somehow, too.
Some Frescas or, you know, something like that.
Unsweetened iced tea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or sweetened ice. Well, you don't want the sugar on a long flight like that.
Well, the Jags should be getting used to it now. Year 3 of a 4-year deal. And you know, it could be part of the schedule for the future to
That's
come.
That's the wrong. No, not could. It is.
It should be.
It will be. It is.
There you go.
I mean, Shad Khan had an interview on NFL.com basically saying that it's part of the future, which I think is great, playing a game over there.
So you got to get used to playing over there, though, and play better when you're over there.
No, but I like to schedule, though, to where you leave, you know, Thursday instead of Sunday, Monday.
Do you?
I absolutely
yes.
do.
Yes. If I could vote, I would leave Friday.
I mean, personally, we would love to leave on Friday. But I think as a player, to be able to get there and have one day to where, because I think, Tony, when we were playing back in the early days and we went to California a couple times, we went on Friday.
Early.
Which essentially is what you're doing here. You know, because by the time you get there, it's Friday. But it gives you an opportunity to at least to exercise and work out some of the stiffness from sitting on a plane. And I know a lot of guys are going to sleep on the plane, but to be able to work out some stiffness and get, you know, two good nights sleep.
Yeah, but later, after that first couple of years, we started going out on Saturdays to the West Coast, and I like that better. As a player, I'm like, leave Saturday for West Coast games. I don't need to get there Friday. You know, get off the plane. Now, it's longer to London, so I get why you have to leave at least a couple of days early. But I like the routine. As a player, stay in the routine as much as possible. Now, listen, selfishly, if it was just me, I mean, I had a great time last week. Brought my wife last year. I mean, it was a week-long vacation for me. It was great. So, I mean, I have no problem with that individually and going over there and doing the events and going to the parties. And the Jags do it first class. I mean, Shad Khan and Mark Lamping and the whole staff here do everything first class over in London. So it's a great time. But as a player, this is much better.
Way better.
I think just to keep in your routine.
Because players have some events too throughout the week.
Yeah, but they're limited though.
They are.
And that's even a change this year from looking at the schedule. You know, in years past, you had events throughout the course of the week, which obviously you can't do that because you don't have the week. Mm-hmm. And then, like the events at like a Play 60 event, I think the practice squad guys are going to be the ones that are going there.
And it's actually at the practice itself. It's
right, so they don't have to hop on a bus and travel, and then. The rally that they had 2 years ago at, what was it?
It was Trafalgar Square 2 years ago last year.
The entire team was there, and then last year the entire team was there at Wembley for an event that really didn't become an event because it was so far removed from the town of London. And this year I think it's only a handful of players that are going to be attending that event. So as far as keeping the players focused and all that, I like this schedule much better.
Regent Street this year, they close down and make it a pedestrian area with two different stages. And I think, six players, some alumni guys coming through. So
now the Buffalo Bills have done what the Jaguars have done for the last 2 years. They played their game against Cincinnati at home, and they were on a plane that night like we did last year when we were in Cincinnati.
So they've been there all week.
They've been there all week. You know, so hopefully
I hope they enjoyed
extra time will give them lots to do in London.
I hope they enjoyed the nightlife
every single night of the week. How do the Jags get past these little creeping mistakes? How do you finally push past that and get a W?
Listen, it's all about consistency, and consistency is something that as a coaching staff you just continue to harp on. You continue to make the little things a focus, and you demand and you set expectations where those are not okay. and you keep on, you know, you keep people accountable, you keep on drilling it, you keep on repping it, and you keep on making a focus. And if you do that, players will either respond or you find new guys who will respond. And that's the process. You guys got to stay at it. And as consistency comes from a team, I'm a big believer, from players, when coaches are consistent and you're consistently preaching the same message and this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it. And that's the only way it can change. I mean, it's no, there's no magic pill. There's no magic wand. There's nothing you can, you know, just say, hey, we're going to be more, you know, we're going to get rid of the dumb mistakes. Nope. You got to keep on repping it and you got to keep on doing it and you got to do it right. And you got, and if it's not right, you got to demand it be done over again in the right way.
And put I think a guy that'll do it the right way.
Well, that's why I think there's a process to that. I mean, with your, when you're a coach, is that, okay, if something is happening, okay, you try to correct it. And then if it keeps happening again, you coach it harder, and then you let, you know, players know, hey, look, if this doesn't change, we're going to make a change. And then the changes start happening. And I think you're probably getting close to that point where you say, okay, look, you know, we're doing some of the same things here week in and week out. And if it turns out to be the same player, you got to make a change to try to shake things up. And it's not necessarily that you're trying to punish anybody. It's that you're maybe trying to find a different makeup, maybe a little bit different chemistry, or just a boost somehow, just to change it up. Sometimes just changing it up can be a good thing.
Yeah, it's certainly not. You can't take it personally if you're a player. And
oh, I hope you do take it personally.
Maybe you do.
Okay. No, I hope you do.
No, because that motivates a guy. Let him take it personally.
Yeah, I hope you do take it personally.
Let him get his feelings hurt.
You need to do your job better.
But the end result is trying to help the team as a whole, not to, hey, we're just getting on this guy. But maybe we're getting on this guy to get him better. So that's
no, trying to get individuals better. You're trying to get better at each individual position, and you're trying to get better as a team, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And you got to demand – You set expectations, and that's great. But then you have to demand that those expectations are met. And not that there's ever going to be a perfect game where things aren't going to go wrong, but you have to demand consistency. You have to demand the expectations that you put out there and that there's a certain way that you're going to play the game, and you're going to demand that each individual, all at different levels, reach to play their best. And if you, each guy will worry about playing their best and doing their job, in the context of the scheme that is being designed offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise, that's how you win ball games.
Jaguars Thursday. The Jags head into Wembley this Sunday to face the Buffalo Bills. We'll be back in a little bit to talk about the matchups in this game. But generally, big picture London stuff here. The last 2 years at Wembley have not been good. Blown out against the 49ers, blown out against the Cowboys. Is it about going back to the week over there? Is it something about the place? What's the deal? Well, how do you learn how to win at Wembley?
Well, first and foremost, the last 2 years, you're playing a 49ers team that was pretty good years ago.
And a team that we had that was blown up and started from scratch with not a lot of talent on it.
You know, and then last year, you're facing maybe the hottest team in the league at that point in the Dallas Cowboys, because their running game was going, their quarterback was playing
and
well.
And you were starting six rookies on offense.
Yeah, you're starting a bunch of rookies on offense.
They were in the game for a bit, actually, until that punt return kind of turned the tide, the fumble punt return.
Well, there's a lot of things that turned the tide in that game. Yeah. I mean, DeMarco Murray right out of the gate, I think, was changing the tide. But, you know, I mean, that's what it was. I mean, you're talking about a young team last year, a team that was blown up the year before that, and you're facing – premier teams, and I think this year it should be different. You know, Buffalo Bills are not an elite team.
They're banged up, too.
They're not playing at a high level. They've got issues with injuries. When you're talking about banged up, Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, Tyrod Taylor's got some issues. They've got a guard, I think it's Central Henderson, if I'm correct, yep, who had a concussion against the Bengals game. He could be out.
So no Kyle Williams.
Quanjo, say that for me.
Cyrus Kwanjo?
Kwanjo. Yeah. Kwanjo. I just want to make sure I pronounce that right. Kyle Williams, as Tony said, the defensive tackle, who to me is one heck of a player. They've got issues already in the defensive backfield because Leotis McKelvin is on the non-football injury list. They're starting safety. Usually Aaron Williams is on the designated injury reserve list. You know, so they've got issues. They're not at 100%. And defensively, they are not the same defense that they were in years past.
Well, not only that, you're not playing the caliber of teams you probably played the first 2 years. And this team's much better. The Jaguars are a better football team. And that is, in my
opinion. A lot of people are going to say, oh, you're crazy, Tony.
Well, I've been called much worse on Twitter, so that's okay. the reality is this team's better, and it's hard for people to see that. It's hard to talk about it. Sometimes it's even hard to say it because you're 1-5 and you've lost three games that you had the lead in the fourth quarter, and many people feel like you should have won. But the reality is that they're better. They're better offensively. They're getting better play out of Blake Bortles. He has improved immensely since last year. The receivers on pace to have 2,000-yard receivers playing at a high level. You got Julius Thomas back, a better player at tight end. The offensive line is not run blocking very well, but overall is better than they were last year. They're a better team. Defensively, everyone's talking about how poor this defensive is, and I'm not saying it's playing great, but is it playing any different, much different than it did last year? No.
Well, the biggest difference is that they're not getting the impact plays that
but
they had.
But they didn't get a lot of turnovers last year either, though.
Well, their rankings. If you look at them statistically, just ranking wise, they're better than last
year.
That's
my point.
If you just look at the numbers, yards per game allowed, rush defense, yards per carry against.
Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong. Their yards per carry against is number one in the league.
It's tops in the league.
Yeah.
And so,
but the category that they're failing in is third down percentage, the effectiveness on third down. And last year they were able to make impactful plays. The sack calls, fumbles were huge for this team last year. And I think also you have offenses playing you a little bit more aggressive than they did last year, because last year when you're averaging, what did they average last year? 15 points a game?
Yeah,
somewhere in that range.
Ballpark, yeah.
If you're averaging 15 points a game.
And that's with all the help they could get. I mean, they weren't moving the ball.
How aggressive are you going to be if you're a head coach and you're playing the Jaguars? Are you going to let it hang out offensively when the opponent, their offense, is averaging 15 points a game? No. You're just not going to do that. But they still have to find a way to be better on third down. They've got to find a way to get takeaways, and right now that's not what they're getting. And those are the things that change the course of a game.
Yeah, Jeff's exactly right. Mm-hmm. But to say this team isn't better is just ridiculous, and it's not accurate, and it's not true. And so I expect a much different experience in London at Wembley. I don't think Wembley has anything to do with it.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, whether you leave on Thursday or leave on Monday or leave on Sunday, at the end of the day you show up on the following Sunday and you play a football game. And the team that plays the best and executes the best and gets it done right is going to win that game more times than not. And so I expect a much different turnout of the game. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think, like all the Jaguars games this year outside of the New England Patriots game, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And this team needs to learn to make plays in the fourth quarter to get over the hump and win game.
Now that's the big thing, fourth quarter performance. I was looking at a number, second half. You're just looking at points.
Oh, boy, yeah.
They're outscored 100-47 in the second half this year. And, you know, and where Tony talks about the fourth quarter, it's even more glaring. I mean, looking specifically, flip my papers here, to look at the fourth quarter, it's more than 2-1. I mean, you've scored 23 points in the fourth quarter and the opponents have scored 48. Mm. I mean, that's a number that's got to change. It's not as bad in the third quarter, but it's still not great. And you scored 24 and the opponent scored 42. You know, and a lot of people talk to, okay, well, it's halftime adjustments. Well, yeah, in some cases it is. But last week, it wasn't a matter of adjustments by the Houston Texans. It was them just staying committed to throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, and they finally got some plays to pop. But the Jaguars didn't change what they did. They felt that they didn't need to because it was so successful all the way through three quarters. The Houston Texans just said, we're going to stick with it. Sooner or later, we should be able to pop a few, and they did.
When we return, a look at the Jags offense against the Bills D, some matchups for this game coming up Sunday at Wembley Stadium. A little later, a look at the injury report as well. Jags fans, get ready for the bold rush. Come see Thursday Night Football November 19th when the Jags take on the Titans and Marcus Mariota. Use your game ticket to gain entry to the huge bold rush tailgate. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Jags are headed to London to face the Buffalo Bills at Wembley Stadium. Year three in the original four-year deal coming up this Sunday, and it could be part of the Jags scheduling for a long while to come. Okay, so Jags 1-5, the Bills 3-3 heading into this game at Wembley. Jags offense trying to get some things going. Where do you find a run game for this Jags team against a really good Bills defensive line
here? Well, first of all, you got to block better up front. You got to do a better job. I mean, they got to stay on blocks, they got to strain, they got to finish, and that's where it starts. And it's across the board, and certain guys got to play better.
Who are those certain
guys?
Well,
I mean, listen, I've said it on Monday night show in the last couple of weeks. Zane Beatles has got to be better right now. He's not playing at a high enough level. And I'm not just putting the whole run game on him. I mean, everyone needs to play better, but that it's glaring at times in my eyes watching the tape. So, you know, and then without T.J. Yeldon, you know, you don't have that explosive guy in the backfield right now. Denard Robinson has speed, but you can tell he's not all the way back from
from
the knee injury. And Toby's just not an explosive guy back there.
Well,
so.
You know what? Here's the thing, too, is watching that film of Toby from last week's game, and you watch it and compare it to the preseason. You remember he kind of came into the season with, what was it, abdominal thing?
Yeah, and they thought it was a sports hernia. It didn't quite get that far. It was kind of in that lower area, though, kind of down there. Yeah.
He doesn't look the same.
No, he doesn't look explosive.
Well, and, you know, he's never been explosive, but he's been powerful. And he's showing, I guess you could say, some signs of having strength, but not the pure power. Because in the preseason, when he ran that short yardage stuff and then he was in the game, we're like, wow.
There we go. That's
the Toby.
Third and one.
That we
handed
off.
Yeah,
that's what we thought maybe we were going to get all of last year. And I wonder, is he completely healthy? That's a question that I have. And number two, it really doesn't matter because the end result is ultimately what you're looking at, and it's not what you saw in a preseason or it's not what you expected. And Tony's right. I mean, Denard Robinson doesn't have that burst, you know, to where he's running through the arm tackle that he had where he got through the line of scrimmage and he wasn't able to break on the – I mean, it was essentially an arm tackle. And he gets brought down on contact. But you could see that his legs stopped moving, which is an indicator coming back from a knee that's not 100% back yet. This team misses T.J. Yeldon. Now, they brought up a guy off a practice squad named of Joe Banyard.
Banyard is right.
Banyard, okay, yep. Third-year player out of Texas El Paso. What he has or what kind of juice he has, you know, because Bernard – Pierce is still in the protocol, as far as I know, right?
It's my understanding he's back on the field this week. So
okay,
yeah. So that, I mean, how far back coming off of that? Who knows?
They got to get a boost, though. They got to get a boost from the backs. They got to get better play up front, and especially if there was ever a week that you wanted to do it, it would be this week against Buffalo. Because if they can dictate to you down and distance, second and long, and third and long, it's going to be hard on Blake Bortles because Rex will bring a safety, a corner, linebackers, it doesn't matter. He'll bring people from anywhere and everywhere, and it's very hard on a quarterback to figure out.
And they're dropping linemen back and all kind of stuff, right? That's what they do.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You watch some of the film that they do, and, you know, and for the most part, week in and week out when you watch a defense, okay, that's a Sam dog. Okay, that's a cross stunt in the middle, and they're bringing the linebackers and they're crossing them up in the middle. They do things that you just don't see other teams do. You know, Gus used the term unconventional, and he was dead on the money. They do things that other teams don't have the courage to do. They'll have a guy, and they'll send a guy off of a side, and the guy that's going to be – the guy that they send, the guy he's covering, they'll have the guy cover, and he's lined up on the tight end on the other side, and when the ball snapped, he'll sprint across the formation to cover that guy. You don't see people do that in the National Football League, and that's why they're so unconventional and sometimes very hard to predict who's coming and who's not.
But they're also, because of it, they can be delinquent in coverage. And typically in the past, where Rex Ryan's defenses were really, really good, is he had a great cover corner. And so he could lock down one side of the field in man coverage and then start bringing all these craziness from all over the field. And they don't have that guy in Buffalo. But still, they're going to take chances. And they're going to, at times, they're going to guess right. But as an offense, you got to stay true to your rules. Blake's going to be patient, and there are going to be delinquencies in the coverage that you can take advantage of.
You know, Gus talked about how against the Bengals they brought three,
yes,
and then were dropping eight. Blake ain't going to see that this week. Okay, he is not going to see that this week. That's a different animal when you're playing the Bengals with Julio Jones, Marvin Jones, AJ Green. Marvin Jones and then Muhammad Sanu, is what his name is. And then, you know, they've got good tight ends. You're not going to see eight guys in coverage against Blake Bortles, I can guarantee you that.
Other side of the ball, some injuries on offense. The quarterback Tyrod Taylor limited earlier in the week with his knee injury. EJ Manuel started last week, and then some receivers banged up. A couple guys didn't even make the trip. Percy Harvin didn't travel. So they've had some issues.
Sammy Watkins has got an ankle that he suffered against the Bengals.
And they said he didn't practice early in the week. He needs to show a lot of improvement, but it doesn't sound positive for him this week. So they have some weapons out on offense.
Well, you hope that the quarterback is EJ Manuel, because Tyrod Taylor, if he's back and if he's healthy, has the ability to run. And I remember watching the Bills against New England as we were preparing to, you know, get ready to go to New England and call that game there. You sat there, and even though the Patriots were able to just get up on a huge lead, you still saw what Tyrod Taylor could do. And that this offense, the way they are with the wide receiving core hurt, they're better off if he's healthy enough to play Tyrod Taylor, because he can create things with his legs. And it's almost like playground football, because he's not going to throw the ball. He's not going to read the coverage and throw to the guy that's naturally going to be open in the progression. That's not the type of quarterback he is. He's the type of quarterback, he's going to drop back, he's going to lock on to one guy. If it's not there, then all of a sudden everything is off, and it's now scramble rules football. And it's literally, it's like playground football when he's in the game. So, and I know his numbers are extremely high. You know, you look at his passer rating, and they're actually crazy to think that Tyrod Taylor, passer rating, sixth in the National Football League at a 103.6.
Wow.
His fourth quarter passer rating is third in the National Football League at 131.8. But if you factored in the percentage of plays that he actually runs on script, what do you think, Tony? 20%, 25% maybe?
Yeah, he's such a good athlete out back there.
And that low, really?
Oh, it's very low.
I mean, he's such a good athlete. He breaks contain. He's running all. He's very hard to bring down in the pocket. Now, if he does play, he's not going to be as effective, because that knee's going to slow him down a little bit, you would think. But I'm with Jeff. EJ Manuel's a guy who's bigger, probably a better arm. But, you know, if you look at his film historically, he's going to throw it to the wrong guy a number of times and give you opportunities for interceptions.
Can this defense, if the Bills become one-dimensional, have to run the ball, can this defense step back up again and stop the run against Shady?
Well, it's just that's not easy now. I mean, LeSean McCoy had, I think it was a hamstring early in the year. He tried to kind of fight through it. Didn't really work. They finally gave him a little bit of time off. This past game was his first game back. First game, I think he ripped off like a 20-something yard run. He was effective throughout the rest of the game. The game conditions didn't dictate to where they could stick to LeSean McCoy, because they got behind against the Bengals. But he's showing flashes of that ability that made him so good at Philadelphia. He can make you look stupid now. I mean, stupid. And he does it when he's in the open field, when he runs that ball. He never, you know, they always teach high and tight here. LeSean McCoy doesn't even know what high and tight means.
No.
That ball is all over the place in his gyrations when he runs the ball. But the amazing thing is that he never fumbles.
Because you never get a clean hit on him.
Can't get to him.
Yeah, you would think. But the one thing that you have to do with him is you better populate him. You know, and this is a term I think that Mike Mallory has used for years as far as, you know, special teams and coverage. And populate means get as many people to the ball as you can, because he is going to make somebody look stupid. But you have to take your shot, slow him down, make him change his course of direction, and hopefully you have, you know, the party there to bail you out.
Yeah, and it's a game that is critical to play really sound defense as far as gap control and creating leverage, because the last thing you want to do is get him outside on the edge in space, because it's difficult. So, you know, and you hear Gus and all defense coaches talk about setting the edge, you know, being strong, keeping everything inside, and that helps you, as Jeff just said, populate around LeSean McCoy. Because if he gets outside and he's one-on-one, boy, it's a 50-50 chance you're going to have.
The other back that they have now is pretty good now. Their fifth-round draft pick from Florida State, if you look at it from a number standpoint, Carlos Williams, the rookie out of Florida State, has a better yards per carry average than LeSean McCoy.
Wow.
He got beat. He's a little beat up, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he was inactive this past game. I don't remember exactly. What is he on the injury report? Carlos Williams, running back.
Not on there.
Okay.
It might have been, Jeff, and if I remember correctly, it might have been a concussion that he was held out for. But it looks like he'll be healthy this week.
Was the Philly game was last year, right? Do you remember what McCoy did in that game against the Jags?
I don't think it was a monster game.
No, but there was a couple plays he was in space that it was a problem. A lot of things, Philly was different because they'd check it down to him in space.
That's right.
Which made life even more miserable.
They got some running back names now. Booby Dixon. Now he's a backup running back. And then Boom Heron, who I believe Boom was in Indianapolis last year.
Yep.
And Boom was better than Trent Richardson, and for some reason he finally ended up getting snaps at one point for the Indianapolis Colts, but a running back that runs pretty physical. So, I mean, they got a pretty good backfield now.
It's funny, the running back carousel this past offseason that happened with Murray going to Philly, him going to Buffalo, Fred Jackson's out. All these guys are rotating all around these teams, and guys that start everywhere.
It's no surprise that, and that goes back to the lack of premium label being put on the running back position anymore. And LeSean McCoy, I know that when he went to Buffalo, I mean, basically they picked up the contract, and it was a very expensive contract, but if you're the Buffalo Bills and you don't have a quarterback, that was a smart move for them. You know, whereas the Philadelphia Eagles thought that their system was good enough to overcome having a great running back, and they're finding out now that that's not the case. You know, but they tried to get DeMarco Murray, and he hasn't been 100%.
Well,
hasn't been effective. Their offensive line.
It's the wrong system for DeMarco Murray. Mm-hmm. DeMarco Murray is a one-cut downhill runner, and he's not, you know, a lateral runner, which is a lot of Chip Kelly's offense is lateral and
in space.
Horizontal space.
And out of shotgun stuff.
Yeah, that's not him.
Right.
I mean, that's the fact.
He's an I-back.
Exactly right.
Put a fullback in front of him and run him.
Or single back deep at 7 yards and under center and hand it to him, let him, you know, read off the first down lineman and cut it back or keep it front side and get north and south. But that's not what the Eagles do.
Yeah, how many teams run the straight eye formation anymore? Packers?
Giants still do a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not just eye.
Texans do a little bit.
Texans did quite a bit. Even if it's just single back at 7 yards, sure, you can do a lot of things from that too.
You and your kids could have the best Halloween ever. Enter the Halloween with Jackson DeVille sweepstakes today for your chance to have Jackson trick-or-treat with your kids in your neighborhood. Visit Jaguars.com/Halloween to enter. We'll come back in a moment and look at the injury report. The Jags not as injured, not as banged up as they were in the last week or two. We'll look at the Buffalo Bills as well. They do have some key injuries entering this week's game at Wembley Stadium. Back in a moment. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions. And they will take it from here. Jaguars
throwing cookies in front of Baselli.
I can't have any cookies. It's Monday night.
We've been throwing that cookie around all week.
Monday night, I made a bet with Prisco. Oh, he wouldn't bet me though. That I would have no sugar, or what was it, bread?
It was it was
no sugar
or
no
carbs.
No, I said low carbs. I'm gonna eat carbs. I'm gonna have like fruit and stuff. Yeah. But basically, no sugar
for
until Monday's
London.
Show.
Yeah, until after London.
That ain't happening.
That's what we both said.
I've made it so far. Two
no
days.
No chance. There's a cookie sitting there with your name on it.
2 days. He says don't. There's no way. He says I'll get on the plane, and I'll just go to town.
Before we even get wheels up.
Which is historically very accurate.
Yes.
But I'm going to try to.
Virgin Air has milk and cookies, remember.
Oh, gosh. I forgot about that. There's no chance I'm turning those.
After being on a plane for 8.5 hours, when those cookies and milk come out in front of you, you're telling me you're not
going to
have one.
Let me just say right now. I'm going to have milk and cookies.
All right, well, it's over.
The bet is over.
Bet lost. Jaguars.
I'm glad Pete didn't take me up on it because I forgot. If I would have never made the bet if I knew the milk and cookies. They're hot, too.
They are hot. Oh, yes.
And
you got to have a nap.
The problem is, Logs and I don't sleep. I didn't sleep a wink last night.
I slept like 10 minutes. I took 2 Ambien and I didn't sleep.
I got a prescription for Ambien. I'm going to try.
Good luck with that.
The problem
it
is,
work
those
for
seats
me.
We're in were just like, gosh. We're back eating crumbs.
We are.
You know, Gus and the staff are eating steaks.
Oh, yeah,
up front.
They're all laid out.
Medium rare.
They got all the – what is it? How do they – it's like the veteran players and the coaching staff were up in the beds?
I think what they did is they gave all the players the beds, which is
– Not all the players because some of the younger guys are in the business
class. I think
the business
like all the – as many starters
yeah,
as they
it's
can.
Like starters,
get the
whatever.
Beds
big guys and starters.
Coaches just have to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, they're all eating their, you know, flaming on up there. We're eating the meatloaf in the back. I like meatloaf, but nothing against it.
I think I
like flaming on better, though.
I just remember the flight over there last year and listening to, gosh, I want to say it was Led Zeppelin's live performance at the O2 Arena in London.
Right.
In which they made the album Celebration Day, which, you know, that's what they have for the entertainment on the thing. They got music and they got videos and all that.
I watched four movies.
I listened to that like, I don't know, four times.
I literally watched four movies.
I think I slept about 6 hours on the way over there last
year.
Good
for
you. That'll be the plan. I won't tell you what I took to do it, but
pass me some of that this time, will you?
It was something. Let's get into the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We start with the Jags. Julius Thomas fell on a football last week and banged up his ribs a little bit, but worked out full earlier this week. That's good news.
You remember I brought that up in the game because I thought that maybe he had pulled some type of rib muscle. Happened very early in the game, and he kind of was stretching, talking to the trainers and stuff. He ended up, you know, finished the game, didn't show, so that's good. He'll be fine.
The offense needs him, too, no doubt. Allen Robinson, lower leg, limited on Wednesday. That was when he was kicked or kicked the guy who hurt his knee with the Texans.
Did you watch that injury on film?
No.
Oh, my. It was
Was it the lower leg or the knee?
It was a dislocated knee, I think.
Yeah, and a couple of tendons torn, but the dislocated knee for him. For Robinson, it was
bruised
leg.
I know Robinson's bruised.
I want to say it was
Ballantyne.
It went all the way back, didn't it?
It was when he flipped over, because his one leg, and I think it was his, I don't remember which leg it was, but anyway, he plants in the ground, and Allen comes in, and they collide, they hit lower legs, and then as Ballantyne, the safety, is coming over the top. You can see the leg flopping in directions that it shouldn't go. It was not pretty.
Yeah, those are injuries you might never come back from.
Maybe.
Which is too bad.
So Allen got the least of that collision. Chris Clemens was out on Wednesday, a veteran off day, which he's had the last few weeks, so he should be back on the practice field. Jonathan Cyprian did not practice Wednesday, calf injury. Safety situation for this team. What's it look like right now, guys? Because Brown has been out some.
Sergio played last week and he did it on special teams. I wish that James Sample was healthy, you know, because I think that, you know, you talk about accountability and such, and I think that if you had an option of, you know, letting Sample get some repetitions for Cyprian, I think it would be a good thing.
Which he has a shoulder injury. That's
much like you talking about, Zane Beatles, you know, maybe you play somebody else for a little while and see how that works, you know. And I think that
competition's always a good thing.
Yeah, I think competition's a good thing, and you know, but you got to have the people that can give you competition before you can do that. And I think if James Sample can get back at some point, I think that would help.
Allen Hurns, ankle, thigh,
tough
bunch
guy.
Of other things.
Doesn't matter.
Tough guy.
Doesn't matter.
He's
doesn't matter.
He's going to play and play well. Marquise Lee with a hamstring might not travel to London. That was the word earlier in the week.
Well, I know they were, I think, talking about, you know, this plan that they kind of had in place to get him back. And I think, you know, there's got to be a decision made on Marquise Lee at some point. I think that when you come back from London, if he's not available and he's not ready to go, I think you got to make a decision. And to me, I brought this up a while ago, that when he went to New England, wasn't able to, you know, to perform and finish that game, and you had to make roster decisions to be able to kind of cover that. I didn't like that. You had Leroy Reynolds, who ended up getting released. And the week before that, he played coming back from a knee injury. And to lose a guy like that 1 week after he does something like that for a guy that hasn't played – that's hard. It's hard to take.
Leroy,
I think,
hasn't
in a locker
been picked
room.
Up by anyone, has he?
No, he got picked up.
Oh,
I think it was Chicago.
Quick. Chicago,
yeah, got picked up pretty quick. You know, so I disagree with that, but I think you know, look. I thought the decision should have been made at that point that you just say, look, to put Marquise Lee on IR, and say that, you know, we'll try it again next year, and then next year, you know, you got to be available for us to be able to legitimize, or to be able to have a reason for us to keep you on the active roster, and I think that. Maybe that decision is coming after the bye week.
I think they want to give him another chance to see if he can get on the field and bring some speed to the offense. But sooner or later, you're right, Jeff. I mean, something. I mean, if you're not available, you bring no value. And that sounds harsh, but that's reality.
It's the way it is.
And sooner or later, you got to figure it out. And obviously, it's a hamstring. He's dealing with it, and hopefully it's getting better so he can get out there on the field and show what he can do.
T.J. Yeldon, groin strain, did not practice Wednesday. So a question mark again this week, though he gave it a go before the game last week, and Gus Bradley and him had to talk after, hey, let's give it another week at least.
Well, I mean, it's a good sign because, you know, you go back to the Tampa Bay game and Paul Posluszny worked out before the game. He didn't end up going. Then he came and turned around and played this past week against Houston. You would like to think that, okay, if he's working out before this last week's game, that this week he would be available. But, you know, soft tissue injuries are different now, you know, so – not sure on that one, but I know one thing. He is their best running back, without a doubt. And he is not only their best runner, he is their best pass protector. He is their best receiver out of the backfield. He's the best that they got at that position. And I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care the down and distance or the down. Doesn't matter.
He's, you know, but you got to have him healthy.
Right. He's not that good when he's got a groin injury.
Well, and you don't want to become a lingering groin issue, where all of a sudden now this is something you're dealing with every week. I wouldn't be surprised if he does. I mean, I hope he plays, but with the bye week, and you look at it, you're like, listen, let's make sure he's healthy so on the back half of the season we have him for the rest of the year. But you're so thin at running back. We talked about it earlier, the lack of explosion. You know, maybe Denard's better this week after a week of getting some reps, live reps, you know, a little confidence on the knee. I can't even think of the guy's name they signed. Maybe he has a little juice.
Bannard.
Joe Bannard. Yep.
Joe Bannard. So we'll see. It's in a system and a philosophy where you want to be able to run the ball, not having TJ out there and not having a guy you can count on to kind of be your bell cow is not a good position to be in.
Corey Grant, hip flexor injury on the reserve list. Tony Washington, wide receiver as well, on the reserve list with a hip flexor injury.
Yeah, and the roster changes that they made because of Tony Washington and Corey Grant, they brought up Neil Sterling, who was their seventh-round pick, wide receiver from Monmouth. I'm guessing, you know, provided that Allen Robinson is going to be healthy, that it's going to be a special teams role, and he's got the size to be able to do it. He's one of the biggest, or the biggest wide receiver they have. He weighs, what, 230 pounds?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
240 pounds, something like that. He's almost really a tight end. And then they brought up Joe Bannard, obviously, for Corey Grant. So, you know, and Neil Sterling did some things that impressed you in the preseason.
You're not counting on anything.
But you're not sitting there going, man, I can't wait to see him.
No, you're not counting on anything. I mean, if he's out there, it's a problem.
That's true, yes.
I mean, your three receiver set's going to be, you know, Allen Robinson, as long as he's healthy, Allen Hurns, and Brian Walters. I mean, and that's a good group.
I'll take Walters.
That group's played well.
No doubt. Walters played well last week, for sure.
Walters is a nice little slot receiver.
Yes. It's what we said coming out of the preseason, and he's been exactly that.
And he can do everything.
Catches the ball. He can do kick returns, punt returns. I mean, you never have enough of those guys.
Buffalo Bills wide receiver Marcus Easley, shoulder injury, limited Wednesday. Corey Graham, safety with a groin injury, limited. Tyrod Taylor, limited with a knee. Three players did not travel to London. Percy Harvin, not injury-related officially, but he's been battling a hip issue.
Yeah, I was kind of confused by that.
That was interesting.
That's personal issues, now. They said.
Yeah, Rex Ryan said that the first day in London, that he didn't travel for personal reasons.
Yeah, and I don't get that. I mean, he it was a hip, and then now all of a sudden it's personal reasons. I mean, Percy Harvin's got – he's got some history now.
Yes, he does.
It's almost to the point – hasn't Percy Harvin's almost missed more games than he's played in, it feels like.
It does feel like that. Chantrell Henderson did not travel. Concussion – and Kyle Williams, the defensive tackle, did not travel to London with a knee injury. A few others as well. Sammy Watkins with the ankle injury needs to show some improvement. Marquise Goodwin is with the team, but he didn't travel either. He's out for the game, listed as out already with a rib injury. When we return, we'll look around the National Football League in Week 7 and pick some games. The Jags are headed to London. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at only $7. For more information, visit jtafla.com. A look around the National Football League in Week 7 when we return. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday continues. Check out Jack Hanania's Volkswagen of Orange Park, home of the best warranty in North Florida. 20 years, 200,000 miles. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars Bills coming up Sunday at Wembley Stadium in London. First time ever, by the way, guys, that the game TV broadcast will be streamed online for free anywhere on any device through Yahoo.
That's pretty cool.
That's the future.
Yeah, explain how that's working, JP, because it's going to be on local TV, though, still.
Local TV in Jacksonville and in the Buffalo market. But anywhere else and anywhere in those markets, you can go on your computer, your phone, go to Yahoo, and watch the game live for free.
So you go to CBS broadcast. Yahoo.com.
Yep.
Click on the link, whatever it is.
It'll be right there on the front and center.
Yeah, and it just comes up free.
Yep. It'll be front and center. You click on it, you can watch it from anything.
It's pretty cool.
I wonder how much Yahoo had to pay for that.
I'm sure they had to pay a pretty penny.
Yeah, a little bit. First time anybody's been able to do that, and it's a test. It's another test. The Jaguars are involved in it.
And it's a little different, too, now. Correct me if I'm wrong, manager of radio, Joe Fortunato, that the amount of breaks – in this broadcast are a little different. Are we going to have a faster game?
A game won't be any faster, but there'll be less breaks.
Yeah.
Less commercial time.
Less commercial breaks.
Right. Yeah, so the overall broadcast will be shorter.
Right.
By a little bit. By like four
minutes. Yeah, I guess it would. Okay, now that brings up another question. Okay, I guess you are right. It will be quicker. Would that affect the players at all?
No. I don't think they would even notice it.
No.
You know, but I think that's great. I mean, it's going to kind of make things move a little bit faster.
You know, I didn't think about that. I for some reason, I'm thinking.
You were thinking about your clock and commercial breaks.
And changing around. That was a lot of fun.
I was thinking about, okay, this is going to be a faster game.
How does that affect radio?
You're right. There's less breaks to take.
Yeah. That's it.
So you're right. That means a shorter time in between timeouts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the game could
game
be,
will be
faster.
A little bit faster.
There you have it.
That's something to look for.
So tonight was a 9:30 kick, local time.
9:30 Eastern time, yes.
Okay. And I'm sure that it being a little bit faster. I mean, typically a game is 3 hours, right? So it will allow the networks.
Usually the game's about three. The average game is like 3 hours and 8 minutes.
Yeah. So it'll be done, you know, what, 12:38, something like that.
I bet you only save like 8 minutes. If it's 08. You said 3:08 is the average time?
I think that's what it was.
You're not going to save that much. I mean, you're talking about a break being shortened by 30 seconds.
Yeah. I got you.
And if you add them up, I mean, it's still not going to be a lot.
Okay. We're going to throw the ball 60 times, so get ready.
No, maybe not. I don't think we're going to see that this week.
Maybe not. They got
not
close
against
last
Buffalo.
Week.
If they're throwing it 60 times in a game, really bad has happened early.
In real trouble. Let's look around the National Football League in Week 7. We'll get to the Jags Bills coming up. We'll get to tonight's game on Thursday Night Football as well coming up. Jets, Patriots for the AFC East.
This is the matchup that I have been dying to watch, and it's not the game overall, but to watch the Jets defense against the New England Patriots offense, because that is the only defense in the league because of their secondary and their talent on defense that has a chance.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Against New England. Who else?
Denver. Aqib Talib and Chris Harris.
No, you're right.
Corners and DeMarcus
Ware. But they're not playing this year.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, that's another defense that would be just fine against New England.
But this is the one, though, that, you know, if you're going to watch, like, the All-22 tape of any game.
Oh, it'll be a fun one.
Watch the Patriots offense against the Jets defense.
So they won't play. They might play in the playoffs.
Oh, they'll play in the playoffs. Yeah.
There you have it. Buccaneers-Redskins, not quite the game that Jets-Patriots is going to be.
Buccaneers-Redskins?
Yes. In Washington,
Taking the Redskins. I just don't see. You know, I will say this now: the
Patriots,
the Buccaneers, if they can run the ball like they did against the Jaguars, they can compete with anybody. But they got to manage the number of throws for Jameis Winston. I think the Redskins win.
I agree with that one.
Falcons on
by,
the
by
road.
By the way, you got to go back. I'm taking the Patriots.
Oh, you didn't pick a team.
No, we didn't pick a team there. Okay. Who are you taking there, Tony?
Oh, Patriots.
Okay.
Well, that was easy.
And by the way, the Broncos do play the Patriots.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, November 29th.
That'll be a good
Because they're
one.
Both first place in their
That'll be a good
there
one.
You have it. Falcons on the road in Nashville against the Titans.
I'm taking the Falcons.
Mariota knee watch this week.
Yeah, I think with no Marcus Mariota, I think I like the Falcons as well.
Saints, how'd they win that game last week? They're playing in Indy against the Colts.
Well, they beat the Falcons because they got three turnovers. They got recovered three fumbles, two of them on fumble snaps by Matt Ryan. So they took advantage of that. They gave up a bunch of yards, but the Falcons couldn't convert to touchdowns. And the Falcons' defense is not very good. I mean, everyone talks about they're 5-1, and that's great. Go look at the numbers. They only have 7 sacks on the year. And they couldn't get to Drew Brees, and Drew Brees just kind of picked them apart.
Who you got?
I got who? What's the game again?
Saints, Colts.
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 In Indy. There you have it. Vikings and the Lions in Detroit.
I don't know if I'm not jumping on the Lions bandwagon after one game.
I'm going Vikings. I think they'll run the ball with AP and win that game.
I'm going to take Minnesota there.
Probably Landry Jones quarterbacking for the Steelers in Arrowhead against the Chiefs.
How the Pittsburgh Steelers find a way to win, they always do. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's Chiefs 1-5.
No Jamal Charles.
No Jamal Charles. I don't think they're going to be able to score points. I think it's a low-scoring affair, but I think Le'Veon Bell's the difference.
Browns at the Rams. Tickets available starting at $18 at the Edward Jones Dome. Who
ouch.
You got?
$18?
Yeah, that's the lowest ticket on StubHub right now.
Wow.
I'll take the Rams.
Yeah, I'll take the Rams.
The home field
advantage. $18, they're going to get a lot of support, right?
They'll get a lot of entertainment for $18. Texans and the Dolphins in Miami.
I like the Dolphins.
Ooh.
I think the Dolphins win that game. I'm not convinced that Brian Hoyer can have back-to-back good games.
So you're taking the Texans?
No, I'm taking the Dolphins. I said I don't think Brian Hoyer can have back-to-back good games.
I'm taking the Texans.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not believing in this Oklahoma.
Come on.
Dan Campbell
flexed at the podium and did Oklahoma. They can't lose anymore.
No. I had a heart-to-heart with Vernon on the practice field this week, man. Come on.
He did?
Yeah.
After the dump penalty tried to ruin the career of Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm taking the Texans.
Raiders are in San Diego against the Chargers, who nearly had Green Bay's number last week.
I like the Chargers. I think the Chargers get that. They're a better team than the record. Phillip Rivers is playing good, but they're throwing the ball too much. But the Raiders aren't ready yet. They're not ready to take the next step.
I haven't seen the Raiders.
I just saw glimpses of them on TV.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Raiders enough to know. But how in the world can you take Jack Del Rio over Phillip Rivers? I'm taking Phillip Rivers.
NFC East is a crapshoot right now. Cowboys visit the Giants.
The Cowboys are not going to win that game. The Giants are going to win.
Who are the Cowboys playing at quarterback?
Not Tony Romo. And Dez Bryant is just starting to work on the side this week. So they don't have those two guys. They haven't won since those two guys have been out. The Giants were awful against Philly. Typically in those situations, Tom will whip their rear ends, and I think they play a good game.
Yeah, I watched that game against Philly.
Oh, it was terrible.
Wait a minute. What team is this? I think the Giants bounce back.
Eagles at the Panthers on Sunday Night Football.
I like the Panthers. They're a tough, physical team with no weapons that finds a way to win football games.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they're tougher. I think they're tougher than Philly.
They're resilient.
I think that defense will shut down Philly's offense. Sam Bradford's not the answer. I'm starting to believe Mark Sanchez would be a better option at quarterback than Sam Bradford. You look at the numbers.
After watching him, yeah.
And you look at the numbers and compare what they've done in that offense. I just think the Panthers will win that game. It'll be ugly, but the Panthers live in the ugly, and they handle it well.
I've always thought this about Sam Bradford. He just looks uncomfortable. You know what I mean? That, you know, quarterbacks have to display a certain leadership quality about them. Do you ever get that impression when you watch Sam Bradford? Have you ever gotten that impression? I haven't.
Tonight's game, the Seahawks in San Francisco, Santa Clara, to face the 49ers.
I don't see the Seattle Seahawks losing to the 49ers. No way.
I'll go Hawks, too.
On the road.
Yeah, why not?
30 seconds here. Jaguars host the Buffalo Bills Sunday at Wembley Stadium. The Jags going to get this done?
I already guaranteed it on Monday.
You did.
I'm sticking by my guarantee. Jags win.
I'm picking the Jaguars. They need it.
I don't care if they need it or not. I'm guaranteeing victory.
They need it.
Call me Monday night if it doesn't happen.
The Baselli guarantee. You heard it here. Well, second, you heard it on Monday as well. For Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato, this is J.P. Shadrick. The Jaguars and the Bills coming up Sunday at Wembley Stadium in London. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.